Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, race fans, it's the Checkers of Records show on Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere, as well as Facebook Live on facebook.com/Speedway Anywhere. All one word, your all-inclusive motorsports show, and maybe even some multi-sports too. Feel free to call in 917-889-2053 or interact on Facebook Live on the live show chat board. We're typically live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. I'm your crew chief Q, and Captain Kurt will be joining in as well. Obviously, we're on a Friday. Circumstances kind of made it happen that way. It's Friday, April 26th, and that means it's our one-year anniversary week. We joined in the racing broadcast world April 22nd, last year, 2018, and it keeps growing and just getting better, if you ask me. I mean, it's been a fun road, long road, a lot of learning curves, a lot more work than expected, but I love every second of it. Thanks to everyone who's joined the ride, and we'll keep it going. And I forgot to turn off my stupid little updates that keep chiming in on me here. We'll get rid of that in a few seconds. Oh my God. Thanks to everyone who joined the ride though. We'll keep it going. Last weekend, all the major series had the weekend off, and oh my God, I am getting frustrated here. I think we're done with the extra chimes that are going off in my ears here. Last weekend, all the major touring series had the weekend off for Easter. NASCAR, NHRA, Indy, World of Outlaws, ARCA, K&N, and others. So we weren't on air the Monday following Easter. But some major regional racers took to the track either as scheduled or as a makeup rain date postponed event. We'll get to those in the regional segment, and we'll recap points for the major series as well as preview upcoming events, including the Cup Series and Xfinity coming to Talladega, along with ARCA. ARCA raced at Talladega today. We're going to pull up those results and get to them. NHRA headed to Charlotte for this weekend. They also, they're at the ZMAX Dragway for the four wide event. And then the World of Outlaws gets back on track two today. So we'll get those results as we come to them. Got some speed bits to cover. The song remains the same as we're hearing objections from Fairgrounds Speedway in Nashville, both from Mayor Riley of Nashville and from the surrounding neighbors. The mayor has problems with the funding plan for improvements to the speedway, and the neighbors continue to complain about noise and noise curfews. I'm not going to repeat the spiel about either, but I want to say this. The 2020 schedule already announced in the last month and a half or so, 2020 schedule is going to it's going to fly before the time's going to fly, I should say, before the 2021 schedule is to be put together and announced. So I don't believe Nashville will be ready no matter for 2021, but I would think the contract would need to be in place as the tracks get on board for the following years after 2020. Basically, a lot of contracts are up at the end of 2020 as far as the current schedule. So 2021 is going to have to be kind of in place. Nashville is probably in my top three votes for 2021 ongoing. And the other two are in my top three, I guess, are Iowa Speedway adding a cup race. That would be awesome. I love that track. And IRP coming back at least for the Xfinity and the Truck Series. Maybe another road course. My vote is Circuit of the Americas. But, you know, that's one man's opinion. It's a beautiful facility down there in Austin, Texas. As if the 2020 schedule wasn't exciting enough, I can't wait to see the major shakeups for 2021. And then on, as current tracks had their contracts expiring at the end of this year, and who's in, who's out, I have a feeling could be Dover, maybe Pocono too, as they've added that doubleheader weekend on the schedule. Cup on Saturday, Cup on Sunday, Xfinity on Saturday, I believe. And maybe Trucks and Cup. I've heard that. Here's something to ponder. The track has shortened the races. I haven't seen how many miles. Pocono used to run 500-mile races. One in June, one in July, or maybe early August. And now they're shortened to 400 miles, and God, thank you, because those tracks have, they 500 miles on Pocono is a long day, especially when they get rained out or rain delayed. But they went to 400 miles, knowing that people were complaining that the race is just too long, and for them to go to even less, I really think that Pocono is going to be on the way out. But hey, here's something to add to the road course topic. Sonoma will feature the carousel turns when they get to the top of the hill for the cup race. In the past, the course bypassed, kind of a double entendre, redundant statement. They bypassed the carousel and made it a straightaway at the, I believe, highest elevation on the track. Also, they have added additional seating and viewing for that area. Now, I don't know how many people have paid attention to the road course races. Some fans, it's their favorite time of the year. For me, Sonoma's been kind of bland. But now they've added additional seating and viewing for the area up at the top of the hill there at Sonoma. Myself, I was kind of hoping NASCAR would go the same way IndyCar did and move the race to Laguna Seca in Laguna Beach, California. But again, that's just my opinion. I don't see it happening with Sonoma making improvements, or at least for now. We'll see as the years go on. Damn that 2021 schedule. I wish I was a fly on the wall with the executives. Speed bet number two. Everyone except for Penske and Gibbs haven't seen Victory Lane for this year after the first nine cup races. And this gets me going on the quarter season report card. So we've had two drivers from Penske, Keselowski and Logano, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and then Joe Gibbs now has three drivers, the three top dogs, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, and then Martin Truex, who just finally got a victory on a short track. In the first nine races, the first nine of 36. So that's the first quarter of the 36 race full season. First nine of the 26 races before the chase. Sure, Stewart Haas is posting top fives and tens, but they got no wins. A couple shots at victory for Ryan Blaney over at the Penske camp. And then, of course, Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer is doing probably the best, even though, let's just say this. Clint Bowyer is probably doing the best for Stewart Haas Racing. Sorry, I had a problem with the teleprompter here. My point is, once again, the Chevy teams are struggling, just like last year, 2018. Kurt Busch moved over to Chevy. He sits seventh in points. He has no wins. Chase Elliott is the next up driver as far as Chevy's go, and he's in 10th. Jimmy Johnson, although having a better year in 13th, has no victories. Austin Dillon is also having a better year than last year, but sits 14th right behind Jimmy Johnson as far as Chevy drivers. And then you have Kyle Larson on an uphill battle outside of the top 16. He's back there in 19th with Chevy driver William Byron rounding out the top 20. Now, I would have to say that, okay, Austin Dillon, it bothered me last year. He got the one win in the Daytona 500. He was locked from the get-go in the Daytona 500 for the win you're in. But he did little to nothing the rest of the year. So it's, even though he has no wins like he did, he's definitely doing better. That Childress team, though, I'm not even cautiously optimistic, but I think instead of a win at Daytona last year, Austin Dillon might actually point his way in that first 16 driver round of the chase. Now, Kurt Busch, who replaced Jamie McMurray in the number one Chevy Ganassi ride, is doing far better than Jamie McMurray was. But turn the table over to Kyle Larson in the Ganassi Chevy number 42. It's a stark contrast. I'm not sure. I've discussed this with certain cohorts online and on their shows that it might be time for Kyle Larson to make the move. But hey, it's Talladega weekend now, and the stats can flip, so don't blink. Four races go to the halfway mark to the chase, meaning that, 13 races of the 26. So As far as the cutoff of 16 drivers after the 26 event, Chevy needs a kick in the ass. I've heard all the excuses. I don't think the Fords and Toyotas have an advantage. I think the Chevy field has got brought back to a level field. So, case in point, Jimmy Johnson. So, I'm going to get ready for something here. Where are we at? Speed bit number 3. And this is bad news. And I hate when I have to make mention of a driver or a member of the racing family when they pass away. This one hits home for many. Brenda Jackson. Brenda Jackson Earnhardt. Mother of Dale Earnhardt Jr. And Kelly Earnhardt Elledge. She passed away. I got the news on Monday. Passed away after a battle with cancer. Brenda married Dale Sr. in 1972. She was 65 when she passed away. Brenda was also a member of Junior Motorsports alongside Kelly Elledge, Junior's sister, and pretty much Junior's agent. I got to breathe. But yeah, Speedway in here, heart goes out to Junior and Kelly and all those going through this loss. It definitely affected a lot of people. Now, you might remember there's Kerry Earnhardt, who was the son of Dale Earnhardt. He was from a previous wife. And then there is Brenda Jackson, Dale Jr. and Kelly's mom. And then a lot of you may remember Teresa Earnhardt, who was married to Dale at the time of his passing. So, but yeah, a lot of cool tributes, awesome video. You can look that up either through NASCAR.com or YouTube and just type in Brenda Jackson. It will go right there. Let's break down some standings, some upcoming events, and break down some guys that seem to only break down, I guess. We'll be right back. Let's break down some standings and some upcoming events that we have for this weekend, some of which have started already. And but yeah, speaking of breakdowns, there's some guys that only break down. I don't want to rip on Michael McDowell, but dang. I'm going to stop right there. Hey, it's Talladega time, and for the first time in multiple decades, no restrictor plates. NASCAR made changes to the aero package, creating more drag, and as well to the engines. The engines are naturally only 550 horsepower. Only 550 horsepower. Now, call it what you will. Hopefully this means the draft and throttle response won't be as much of a factor as in the past. Hopefully. Key points being when a driver has to make an unscheduled pit stop, such as a flat tire or otherwise, they won't end up in such a deficit when they get back on the track, as many laps down, by the way. Hopefully, but it has yet to be seen. They chose not to run the design at Daytona, as it was announced late in the season last year, and teams would have had to scramble to change the cars and engines for the February opening race at Daytona. Plan ongoing for the former restricted engine tracks. Now, if somebody wants to argue that they like that draft pack racing, that I like each driver to be an individual and have more control of his own fate. I mean, the flip side to it is the draft worked great for Dale Sr. No getting around it. But that's another story for another day or maybe later on in the show. So, yeah, those will be the plans ongoing when we go to Daytona in July. And then, of course, the fall race at Talladega. As the Cup drivers return this weekend, your current points are Kyle Busch has 3 wins, Denny Hamlin and Brad Keselowski each with 2, then Joey Logano and Martin Truex Jr. with 1 win each. So that's your 5 drivers with a win you're in for the Chase Championship beginning in September in the 27th race of the season. Kevin Harvick is the first driver without a win in line for the Chase, and then followed by Kurt Busch, and then Clint Bowyer. Even though Clint Bowyer has been outperforming his, he's been outperforming Kevin Harvick, his teammate. He's technically 8th based on points. And then squeezed in between Kevin Harvick and Clint Bowyer is Kurt Busch based on points. He's 7th. Now, remember, Kurt Busch, of course, was the now former teammate at Stewart Haas Racing. Ryan Blaney's been impressive. I don't want to make a prediction, but he could pull the upset down the line, just like Joey Logano did to get the championship last year. And then Chase Elliott rounds out the top 10 drivers so far in the lineup. The 16 going in, I'm not going to mention everyone through 16th because it's probably going to get scrambled, and it's probably going to get really scrambled on Sunday, which we'll bring you those results on Monday's show. I'm going to do a little, what would you call it? A little breakdown as far as where they are right now and where they are after Sunday. Do it all on a spreadsheet and see how they kind of juggle positions. But yeah, when you're in drivers are Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, and now Martin Truex. So you don't have to look too far beyond 19th to find drivers in 32nd or 33rd who aren't even running the full season. That disturbs me. The field is set up to be a possible 40 drivers, and we're nowhere near enough regulars running a full season when you consider that 32nd or 33rd aren't even running the full season. So really, it's only been 31 drivers who have made 9 starts. All right, so let's get out of that calamity. I got so much more to say about the limited fields. Xfinity Series, in case you don't know, is the stepping stone division just below Cup. These guys are rather impressive. The Xfinity Series, like I said, had Easter weekend off as well after running their 8th race of the season at Richmond Friday, April 12th on that first night race of the season. Xfinity is running their 3rd of 4 Dash for Cash races. In case you don't know what that is, basically starting at Texas, the final four or the first four drivers that are regulars in the series were qualified to go to Bristol, and the highest finisher, not the winner, the highest finisher won the $100,000 bonus. The final or first four finishers from Bristol that are regulars came in and moved on to Richmond. And then from Richmond, this is set the Dash for Cash for Talladega. And whoever wins, obviously, gets $100,000. And then at Talladega will be the final qualifier for the top four drivers of the regulars in the series who will move on to Dover May 3rd or May 4th. I don't have the date in front of me. And they will be your next four drivers up. I wish there was, I mean, me and Captain had this conversation, you know, about whether the Xfinity Series needs a all-star race or if the Dash for Cash leave well enough alone and let them have their little highlight that's different from the Cup Series. Captain Kurt's online. I'm going to get to him in just a second. But yeah, Cole Custer took the $100,000 after winning Richmond. Then Austin Cindric, Justin Allgaier, Tyler Reddick, they're your top four for the Richmond finishers going for the Dash for Cash at Talladega. Xfinity points for 2019 in a nutshell. Hey, look, it's me in a nutshell. I know Kurt just laughed at that, even though I don't have him live yet. Xfinity points for 2019. Cole Custer leads them. Christopher Bell with 2 wins. And, well, Cole Custer as well for 2 wins each. And Michael Annette. Michael Annette won Daytona, so he's got 1 win for the win year end scenario going into the Xfinity Championship chase. Next up, based on points, is had some rough races, but then we as we look through the top 10, you go to John Hunter Nemechek, Chase Briscoe, Ryan Sieg, And Noah Gragson, kind of surprised. He's driving the champions, number 9 from last year, Tyler Reddick, for JR Motorsports, Junior Motorsports. So keep in mind, the Xfinity Series runs 7 races for the championship chase instead of the 10, like the Cup Series, and only has 12 drivers eligible in the first round, as it goes from 12 to 8 to the final 4. Not basketball related, by the way. We'll explain the championship showdown as the season progresses. Hell, it was even confusing to me until I started broadcasting the show. Did I mention that this show's now been on for 1 year? I think I mentioned that earlier in the show, but Kurt's just joining us. So, yeah, it's our 1 year anniversary week. How's it going?
It's going.
It's going down the toilet or it's going up in the air?
I don't know.
I was hoping you'd say more. I had to grab something to drink there.
Oh.
But yeah, we'll explain the championship showdowns as the season progresses. By the way, did I mention we are actually needing to do a quick check on the ARCA webpage, but we'll wait until I get to that part. I believe ARCA is coming up. No, not yet. So the truck series, if you're itching for some NASCAR Gander outdoor truck series, you're going to have to wait another week. The trucks have been off since March 29th at Texas for their 5th race of the 2019 season. Austin Hill, because of Kyle Busch, is the only driver with a win of the regular starters. And the points are led by Stuart Friesen. Of course, this is all due to Kyle Busch, the Bushwhacker, taking 5 wins away from the series regulars. But Busch isn't eligible to make any more starts in the truck series. I think he's got 1 more on the books to run in the Xfinity series. So, but yeah, Kyle Busch won't be able to mess with the truck series anymore. And like mentioned on previous shows, when the trucks go to Texas in support of the IndyCar event, Greg Biffle will be running that infamous number 51 Gander Outdoor Truck Series ride. So it's going to be fun to, I don't know, I'm going to ask you, wouldn't it be cool to see Biffle go ahead and pull off a win?
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Busch's truck instead of Kyle Busch winning 5 freaking races in that 51?
Yeah,
I can live with Biffle. It's good that he actually practiced the truck. I think it was at Bristol, just kind of like to get him fitted for a seat and check out the adjustments. It might have been Richmond, but get him fitted for a seat and get the pedals set up and, of course, the steering shaft length. And, you know, you got to do it. So. The trucks, like the Xfinity Series, only run 7 races in the championship chase, but only 8 drivers are eligible going into it. The elimination procedure is also different, and just like with the Xfinity Series, we'll cover that as the season goes on. The Gander Truck Series will return at Dover Friday, May 3rd. I was going to do something. Oh. I got to open the ARCA page and see if we have any updates. That's kind of what's cool about doing this Friday deal. We get some opportunities to check the results as they go. Let's see, April 26th in race event. Wow. Guess who?
Who?
Todd Gilliland.
Huh.
David Gilliland's kid.
Oh.
So, yeah, Riley Herbst finished second, and then Brendan Lynn. Not extremely familiar with him. Michael Self, who's got a couple of victories on the year, finished fifth. I'm assuming he's in the lead in points. Gus Dean, he won Elko last year. He finished in sixth. Travis Braden, who was or is the current points leader, finished seventh. Andy Seuss. Now, that's a name. I wish I had the last name Seuss. As in Dr. Seuss? Now, Jack Rouse has always been known as Cat in the Hat. But if I was Andy Seuss, I would run across pit road, grab that head off Dr. Roush. Yes, I just said that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to go through the guys that
Isn't he technically Dr. Roush, though? Doesn't he have a PhD in physics?
I don't know. I know he's a pilot, and
I know he is a physicist. That's what he went to college for, I believe.
So to follow up, in 19th place is Brandon McReynolds, son of Larry McReynolds. I'm sure you recognize who Larry McReynolds is.
Yeah.
And then
what is he doing?
TV.
Oh, he is still a broadcaster.
Yeah. Natalie Decker had a bad day back in 23rd. And then let's see, Thad Moffitt. I wonder if he's brother to Brett Moffitt. Chris Nekes made a return. I know that he had the. I don't remember the exact. He had some type of throat injury or some type of tear.
Really?
We'll get to that when we cover ARCA.
Can I do a quick song real quick? This is what we call the Moffitt Show. Thank you.
You're scaring me. So, yeah, there was a quick update on the ARCA series, and we'll talk a little bit about them in the segments to follow. NHRA, just like the rest, NHRA was off and returns this weekend. Matter of fact, they're on the track as we speak, I think, or they're done for the day, but they'll move on to tomorrow's qualifying events. This is after the Force ran strong. The Force is strong, and the Brittany and the Robert. She took her second final there at Houston 2 years in a row and set a new qualifying record, and her dad also led qualifying in Funny Car. So Brittany got the top field record, Funny Car went to dad, and in the end it was all Force all the time for the weekend when Brittany won top field, and Force Racing teammate Robert Height won funny car in the final. So, hey, I heard Kira. We're talking about the Force. That's Star Wars. That's not Star Trek.
I got my own sound clip. After all this time.
The Force will be with you. Always.
Thank you.
Don't get cocky.
Don't get cocky!
Okay.
There we go. But yeah, Kira is Captain's cat. And we were talking about the Force, so don't confuse.
That means don't practice.
Kira from Star Trek and don't practice?
Yeah, Yoda just talked, so. Oh, you didn't hear Yoda?
I did, but.
Okay.
I got 48 plus some seconds, so I got to keep cruising. Current points after five events in 2019 are top field. Believe it or not, Doug Kalita is first in points. He's been having a good beginning of the year. Brittany Force, last year, and then last year's champ, Steve Torrance, is in third. So yeah, that's your round out of the top three. I haven't seen qualifying from today, so not that it matters. All that matters is the finals on Sunday. I believe they're going to be running pro stock. I'm not sure. But yeah, funny car, last year's runner-up to the championship, Robert Height from John Force Racing, as mentioned. Matt Hagen is second. And then last year's champ, J.R. Todd, rounds out the top three. Pro Stock has less races this year. And I remember I had a little bitch session with you last year when I found out they were going from 24 to 18 events in Pro Stock.
Yeah.
But hey, it's the butt. Bo Butner is leading the points in dominant fashion, by the way. Alex Laughlin is second, and then Matt Hartford. Pro Bike currently is Andrew Hines, and then Hector Rana Jr., and then Eddie Krawick. Matt Smith, he's not in that top three in Pro Stock, as he decided. Basically, Matt Smith decided that he's going to run Pro Stock in addition to his full-time pro bike. Now, I know it's only a few events into the season, but this Matt Smith isn't even in that that top three in either points division for pro bike or pro stock. So, I don't know. Maybe he's taking on too much right now. Hey, did you know that they're using the four wide track at Charlotte Z-Max Speedway this weekend?
That's what I heard.
Yep. So it's four wide again. And, of course, they did the four wide event at Vegas already this year. I find it great, and I find it detrimental. But, hey, it's four wide again. I wish every format could be four wide, but that would get a little spendy on the teams. They have to bring more members to swap out the engines in a shorter time frame. And, you know, something really goes wrong, such as got to unload the backup car or another body as far as the funny car. What do you think of running a dirt drag race?
Oh, I've always thought about that.
Yeah, that'd be
you know
awesome.
That they probably have. There's just no way they probably haven't.
Well, our buddy from the show, Michael Huseman, he's all about the dirt. And he said that he doesn't understand the whole drag racing thing. I bet you if they put drag cars on the dirt, that'd be fun. I'll have to have that conversation with him sometime. I'm going to bump out for just a minute and a half to 2 minutes. I have to switch up the Facebook Live thing, and then let's go from there.
Don't get cocky.
I'm trying to open Facebook Live, and apparently I didn't have enough time to do it, but here we go. I also have a I also have a favorite little soundbite, and I'm going to go ahead and what's that? I'll try
God,
not
could
to.
You imagine? Could you imagine him, Ward Burton, and Robbie Gordon all responding to each other? Han Solo and the two of them, and the responses all of them would give each other. Man,
you know,
they might be.
There's somebody else that would want in on that conversation.
I've been watching NASCAR and drinking beer. That's your favorite sport. Yeah, NASCAR is too.
And Jeff Dunham.
You know, NASCAR is very hot right now. Oh, I know. Everybody loves NASCAR. Well, Sweet Daddy said it's just a bunch of guys driving in a circle. Oh, I know. That's my favorite part. They're making a left turn. It's a sport that's easy to follow when you're hammered.
So, yeah, like we mentioned earlier in the show, the Cup Series, I'm switching over to Facebook Live here, so we got to fill some people in on some stuff. Cup Series is hitting up Talladega with, on Sunday. Yeah. Talladega need lights. They really do. Better get on that, Kurt. But yeah, I got the hiccups. Todd Gilliland.
Bringing a lightsaber.
Hey,
that's a lightsaber. I don't know if that'll help out Talladega, you know.
So, Todd Gilliland was first, Riley Herbst second, definitely a series regular. as far as the ARCA series. Natalie Decker, Horrible Day. Who else? Michael Self. So we covered ARCA for today. Now, we also got to bring up that the championship chase is a long way from the beginning. And basically, the way it began is that 27 races into the season, the championship chase kicks off. Similar scenario for the trucks in the Xfinity series. And then I don't like the NHRA showdown. I really don't. They reset all the points to zero. And trying to keep my opinions to myself. But yeah, Sam Mayer is 15 years old. He won't be allowed to run the ARCA series today. Matter of fact, for another 3 years. So, but he did take a win at Bristol in the K&N E-Series. So, he's a very well-spoken young driver, and we'll be hearing a lot more about him and his many seasons to come. Having trouble reading this here. As far as the ARCA series, Travis Braden, who finished 12th at Salem, he led the ARCA series points. And then Michael Self, those points obviously got shuffled up. Harrison Burton ran the race in place of previous points later. We'll clarify all that on Monday. So ARCA now has 4 races in the books and will open up the weekend as they did today at Talladega. Today being April 26th, IndyCar Long Beach. Alexander Rossi, he ran the show. Race ended with a penalty to Graham Rahal. I've covered this news before, but I want to make sure I'm bringing everyone up to speed. Graham Rahal got busted for blocking Scott Dixon, who was running fourth. And even though
he's got your girlfriend.
In that final turn, Graham Rahal claims that he gave Scott Dixon the outside. Well,
Graham Rahal
kicked it down and pulled away from him. So, yeah.
Graham Rahal's not pulling away from your girlfriend.
What's that?
Graham Rahal's not pulling away from your girlfriend.
Well, I'm going to leave that one alone. Yeah, anybody disrupting the Force, they're not going to be my favorite driver. So, Graham Rahal was a lot of fun. Graham Rahal, he was out there running the sports car series at Long Beach, as well as the Stadium Super Truck. So, yeah, screw him. Tell him, get out of my way. Courtney Force is mine. Actually, I'd rather have Brittany, but, you know, sometimes you got to settle for second best. Graham Rahal is cock blocking me. Oh, my God, I just said that. I know you were dying to say it yourself, but that's all right. So, Alexander Rossi, he's second with the most wins. Scott Dixon is third in points. Takuma Sato has a win this year. He's fourth in points. And a win from Ryan Hunter Ray, rounding out the top five. Last year's field for the Indy 500 was slim, with only 35 entries. The possible 33-car field. Believe it or not, this actually made James Hinchcliffe, you know, the guy on the Honda commercials. He had missed the race at Daytona due to late problems in the clock ran out during final qualifying sessions. He thought he was going to better his time, but when you go out, you are forfeiting your previous time. So he had to come back into pit road for a vibration. By the time he got back off pit road, it was too late. And there was no James Hinchcliffe, probably about the most popular driver in the IndyCar series. This year's field is already at over 40 for the 33 car field. So definitely going to be more of that final chance qualifying going on than in the last couple of years past, if not the last 5 years or more. The IndyCar IRL series comes back to run the infield road course May 11th, and then on the four-turn oval beginning May 14th through the 17th, and then IndyCar qualifying kicks off May 18th, and then last chance qualifying round on the 19th. Indy Lights will also be running there, just like how in NASCAR they've added the Xfinity Series race at the Brickyard. So Indy Lights will be running the road course leading up to big weekend and on May 10th. And then the 11th, they'll be running a kind of a doubleheader, I guess. And then May 24th on the oval. And then, of course, leading up to the big race, the Indy 500, Sunday, May 25th. And then the same day, the Cup Series runs the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte in the evening. So that is not too far on the horizon. It's amazing how fast this year has gone, because, I mean, you look at, we're already back to Talladega for the spring race. And then we're moving on to Dover. And then the IndyCar series will be parking it in Indy for a couple weeks. And then shut up. You and your Japanese Jedi mind trick. All right. I'm going to bump out again, and then we're going to come back for a little bit of World of Outlaws news, some multi-sports, and then take it from there.
And I want to bring one thing up.
was the summer before the real world started. And the deal was we would get to go if we cleaned it up and got it running. That is old Winnebago. Winging a prayer down at 65. My best friend on four ball ties. I can still see Billy smiling when we finally made it to Talladega. Boys raised the whiskey in gold glass. Now here's to turning up or slowing down in cars that go real fast. We were laughing and living, drinking and wishing and thinking as that checkered flag was waving. Sure we're alive to stay Talladega. Like a stone, time rolls on. You can't hit pause, that's what just to do. Most days in life.
No, Talladega. So, hey, non-Talladega. What of all our current points coming out of Devil's Bowl? Brad, dude, sweet. Donnie Schatz, and then Daryl Pittman. The Outlaws had the weekend off as well and come back for the triple header weekend today at Lake Ozark Speedway in Missouri. And then, let's see, April 27th at I-55 Speedway in Peabody, Missouri. And then Sunday on the 28th at Jacksonville Speedway in Jacksonville, Illinois. Minnesota folks and Wisconsin fans of the World of Outlaws, they'll be hitting Cedar Lake Speedway in New Richmond. New Richmond, Wisconsin, obviously near the Apple River in Somerset, just across from Stillwater, Friday, July 5th, and Saturday, July 6th. World of Outlaw late models, they'll be in the, World of Outlaw late models, too, August 1st is the date. So what do you got on your horizon? I mean, I got news about Jesse Preston demo car. Well, I got a new, I got some weird thing from another radio show about a driver. I didn't hear his name, but I listen to a conspiracy kind of show. They get into aliens and Bigfoot and stuff too. I won't mention the name because some people might get pissed off because of other subjects they talk about.
Okay, but, who is he?
But I don't remember his first name, but they also have psychics, right? And I'm listening to it last night, and he races in, like, Indiana and Illinois, I think he said. And they had a psychic on there, and the psychic said, predicted that he's going to have some mechanical trouble during the season. He's not going to be a big winner. So, it's that show Coast to Coast on it from like midnight till 4 every night. And I was listening to it last night, and the psychic was kind of mean with his predictions with people. But yeah, so if anybody knows about that show, bring it up, because I actually was thinking last night, this would be kind of fun to get him on the show. Not the psychic, but the driver. I wish I could remember his name. You know, and didn't mention exactly where he raced, but he said out of Indiana and Illinois and, you know, short tracks, you know.
There's what's funny about the previous ARCA race at Kentuckiana Speedway, and there's also a Ileana, or excuse me, Salem was the race for the Kentuckiana 200, and then Rockford and Speedway is over that way between Indiana. You mentioned Indiana, so maybe it's the Ileana, but I got to move on here. But yeah, as far as Jesse's demo car, I've been following our bumper monster, Jesse Preston, throughout the last week or two. He got his car. He's got the lights all torn out. Don't remember if he's got the rear window torn out, but yeah, we'll be looking forward to having Jesse back on sometime to discuss his plans. Hopefully, Cody and Tyler will also be running the event at Carver. So, we'll see. The Dell Icebreaker. I got these results pulled up somewhere, somehow. That's the ARCA series. Oh, here we go. So, the Icebreaker was rain postponed, or rain and snow postponed. Casey Johnson took first. Skylar Holzhausen. I'm not familiar with Skylar, but I am familiar with the family name. And then Rich Bickle in third. Yes, the Rich Bickle. Finished third, the same driver that was, I'm going to say, extremely competitive in the truck series. And then fourth place was Andrew Morrissey.
He had
a rather successful weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to scroll through some of these and not to discredit any drivers, but Nick Mergic took 10th place, so score a top 10 for the hometown boy. And then who else is out there? I know that I got some bad news coming up on as far as the finishing of the races. We also have, sorry, people, I'm working on it. I'm working. I don't want to read through the entire field. That just gets boring, but I'm sure the sound of silence gets boring too. Dan Fredrickson, unfortunately, not his best day on the track by far. Ended up 26th. So as far as the hometown boys, we had Nick Mergic, and then Dan Fredrickson, amongst others. So, you know, that was the rain-delayed race, and that got shifted out a couple weeks. So maybe the Fredrickson team just might have had a better day. So, yeah, let's just get by that.
How can it be a better day if Morrissey, he finished fourth? What a great day. Come on.
Morrissey had a good day.
Yeah.
Let's see. So that was the Icebreaker. Here's the Frostbuster from La Crosse. Steve Carlson, the old ARCO driver, won the race, still wearing that number 66. Remember, he was sponsored by Phillips 66.
Yep.
Jacob Gady ended up in second, another ARCO driver. Let's go. Well, our boy Dean Cornelius, he finished seventh. Ended up in seventh out of, I believe, 28 drivers. So they were out to the Cross Speedway. Mike Carlson, not sure if he's any affiliation to the Steve Carlson name. Jeff Partington. Jeff Partington, I know you recognize that name. Adam Oxborough. I've actually been in contact with recently. Another Carlson, Tom Carlson, in 16. Steve Bushman and Carter Christensen. So, yeah, there was a lot of guys out to La Crosse for their Frostbuster event as well. Hey, I recently found out that there's a dirt track almost within walking distance of Brittany's house. Brittany being my daughter, being Captain Kurt's niece, in Ogilvy. I don't know what our accounts are like up there, but one of these days we got to figure out a way to get up there and just check it all out. Nashville had some rain delays, and it's been a mint schedule. Elko is opening up June 1st for the stock car event, and then of course has the ARCA race July 13th, featuring none other than little Haley Deegan. Seems like that girl can perform in anything she drives. So we'll see how the ARCA series goes, but I know that K&N cars seem to fit her well. NHRA, they'll be at BIR, Brainerd, August 15th through the 18th, so looking forward to that. So hoping that I can make it up there for this year. We'll see. Multisports, obviously the big boring news. I'm burnt out on it. NFL draft.
Yeah.
Anything impress you?
Well, I don't know who we're getting in the second round. I don't have a problem with getting a center. We'll see how it goes. We need offensive linemen, though, on the team. So,
you know, I had a lot of fun listening to the local major sports station, and that being that they keep talking about our draft pick size of his fingers. They said his fingers are an inch longer. No, nobody's making jokes about it. Maybe they don't want to alienate him for interview.
Hands. One thing, though, he is a center by trade, and that probably helps him.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm just checking through a handful of add-ons here. Yeah, they said that he might have advantage as far as playing the lineman. I mean, give an inch. You know, you don't want to. You got to consider that he's got a little advantage. Now, can you imagine being a smaller guy with less advantage? What do you do with that? I'm not a football guy. I'm whatever. What else as far as multi-sports?
We're going to have a new Stanley Cup champion. We're going to have two new teams in there. They're both done. And as for our Minnesota Twinkies, I don't know what they're doing right now, but not off to a bad start. And taking one out of two in Houston, I'm not going to complain about.
Yeah, that one's been kind of interesting. I guess the biggest news was when Las Vegas got booted.
Yeah. And I'll say right now, I do got to bring up real quick, our left fielder has got on a little power surge last week, so
Rosario?
Can't complain about that.
Rosario?
Yeah. Eddie did that.
Twins aren't as strong as it could be, but when you look at the I guess the Astros not being beat at home and we're the ones to do it. You gotta like that. Now the Orioles are coming here. Is that game today?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they start the series tonight. So they're playing right now.
All right. Well, we'll see how that goes after the weekend's over. Triple Crown. I really don't have a heck of a ton of knowledge and news on that. But what I do know is that American Feral sired an offspring at this time last year. It was shortly after the Kentucky Derby. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's hard to get excited about any of them until they come out and perform. And, you know, I'm not a betting man. So, but not this
year. Well, history.
But
history
has
shown, though, you get them in groups at certain eras. And, you know, we've had two in 5 years, so. We've had two and 3 years.
Here's where I'm at. As far as American Pharaoh's offspring, as far as the Triple Crown runners, aren't they typically 2 to 3 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So that would make American Pharaoh's offspring just under 2 years old going into next year. Wait and see. Everyone was.
Yeah, and I don't know I don't know on how all the early qualifying for the Kentucky Derby's gone yet, but.
I think
different
it's
ways.
Over. I thought that buck's been passed. So.
You know. And then there's.
Maybe I should do some more research, but hey, it's a horsepower game of a different color. As far as my knowledge, I excel in motorsports and auto racing. What else?
You know, just gotta wait and see. And I know I don't follow the NBA super closely, but I do not want Golden State to do it again. So. Everyone else beat up on them, and can the Clippers do it? Don't know.
All right. As far as the Friday night show, this will probably be the last time I do one because I'm looking at the stats and whatnot. I'm not really impressed. I thought we were all old folks and we stayed home and drank and surfed the internet, but I guess I was wrong. So, dude, who's your car? It's anyone's game at this point. I'm you know, my Martin Truex Jr. always comes in the week after I vote on him. So, who's your pick?
I am actually going to go with Mr. Harvick. Let's see what he can do.
So, Captain's going Harvick.
And that's in the cup race. I'm going to
obviously
to win the big one.
Doesn't race any other series anymore.
No. So.
Yeah, you know, it's Talladega. It's anything's possible. I mean, the pace car got stolen at Talladega.
Yeah.
I mean, if they still finish races under caution, I would vote on the pace car to cross the start finish line first. But that's not the way it works. Oh boy.
You know, that's one thing Morrissey would never do, though, is steal a pace car.
I told you I have to keep quiet on this subject.
Oh God, that would be so cool. That
would be cool. As the minutes are dwindling down, we're down to almost 7 minutes. Boy, I think Kyle Larson's pissed. So I'm going to say Kyle Larson. And that would be the first Chevy win of this year.
Yeah.
And probably their last. I don't know. Chevy is in trouble. I brought all that up earlier on in the show in the initial paragraphs. All right, final laps. Roughing the passer. Should it be a penalty in auto racing?
Ooh, if it's really bad.
Or should the car that is refusing to get passed? I mean, that's a hard category to cover. I think we need roughing the passer. Not a popular subject in the garage. Locking is not, especially in the IndyCar series. I know that even in the NFL, it's not a clear penalty. It's what it is. All right, got to keep moving. 5.5 minutes. Kids, play ball. Boys, have at it. Now, as far as the fights, when the team all rushes the pitching mound, God, I've seen more batters hit by pitches this year than most. Even like in hockey, you know, the fighting is necessary because you got to be able to call a guy out when he's starting shit. And then, of course, in NASCAR, they didn't do anything between Michael McDowell and one other guy during qualifying. It's just kind of like, you know, rough it out, boys. Have at it. But do you think that fighting is just kind of a go-for-it type thing? I mean, they're boxers, for Christ's sake.
For me in baseball, I especially got to see what it's about, because there's times where I think sometimes throughout history, well, back in the old days, you know, you hit our guy, we're going to hit your guy, nobody charged the mound. but sometimes it is so clearly, you know, they don't care. And that's when I just think sometimes there's pitchers that need to get decked.
Tell you what, if I get hit in the balls by a ball, I'm going after someone. I get kicked in the balls by a ball, ball of a foot, I'm going after someone. I mean, that's just like, you know, you can't stop and think about that. That's just an instant reaction. That's like, oh, my God, I'm going to kill you type thing. And, yeah, getting put in the wall is a whole different story at 180 miles per hour. Necro, Emery Board, or Harlem Globetrotters, bong that was left behind in the Thunderbird Motel in Bloomington by the airport. Which souvenir would you rather have, or do you have another souvenir that is obscure?
The Emery Board, God, I got so many memories because, you know, on how he went on to Letterman the week later, you know, a week later and all that. Oh, I might just go with the Emery Board, but I never stayed at the Thunderbird, but I got some memories in there, and that would be cool, too. I got to go with the Emery Board just because it's, you know, the 87 team. You know,
I would go with the bong, except for the fact that I could get in trouble for having it.
Well,
that, it would make an incredibly great souvenir. Hey, we got a bail in 2 minutes and 3 seconds. Victory Lane goes out to Brenda Jackson Earnhardt, mother of Kelly and Dale Jr. A lot of great tributes this week. And so what's more home to the Earnhardts than Talladega?
It was the summer before the real world started, and the deal was we would get to go if we cleaned it up and got it running. That is old Winnebago. Winging a prayer down a 65. My best friend on 4 ball ties. I can still see Billy smiling when we finally made it to Talladega. Boys raised the whiskey in gold glass. Now here's the turning up, I'm slowing down the cars that go real fast. Talladega. Like a stone, time rolls on. You can't hit pause, that's just a deal. Most days in life don't stand out.